Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Oh, the kick goes from right to left as we see it. Angled and Barkley will return it. Barkley at the 3, 5, 10, 2 is left. Hole 15, 20, 25, 30. There goes Barkley, 40, 50, far sideline, 40, 30. 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown, Saquon Barkley, an exclamation point out of the gate for the Nittany Lions. Quick toss to Campbell, near side 45, fumbles the football, picked up by Farmer, 45, 40, near side 30, Farmer lowers the shoulder, and JT Barrett takes him down inside the 25 at the 23-yard line. Ohio State only the seventh turnover by them this season.
They'll go with a tight formation far side with Johnson and Gesicki, but wide to the near side, Tompkins and Hamilton. Barkley to the left. Ohio State shows blitz. McSorley to the line of scrimmage to talk to the lineman. Now he backs up. McSorley waits. Takes the snap. Back. Waits. Near corner, Hamilton reaches up, and he's got it. Touchdown, Penn State! Barrett takes it, back to pass, Penn State blitzes, in trouble, Curtis Cothran has him and takes him down, back at the 21-yard line. Curtis Cothran with the sack for Penn State, his fourth sack of the year. Takes the snap back, waits, delivers, caught 20-yard line, wrapped up, and Hill won't get there. He's down at the 19-yard line. Troy Apke comes over with Shaka Tony to make the play, and Penn State gets it on downs to close out the opening quarter. They'll give it to Barkley, 35, breaks a tackle, 30. Barkley swings near side to the 25. McSorley in front at the 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Penn State! The Nittany Lions cap an 81-yard drive. Farmer takes it at the 18. Farmer 20, 25, 30. Farmer swings to his right. He's got an opening 35. Far sideline 40. Farmer to midfield 40. Far side 35 to the 25 and out of bounds. And the former kickoff return specialist was perfectly placed. That was the adjustment, Jack. McSorley will take it. Following Barkley to the 5. Far corner. He's got it. Touchdown, Penn State. And the Nittany Lions cash in the kickoff return by Koa Farmer to take a 27-10 lead with 8:06 to go in the half. McSorley steps away from pressure. Breaks contained. Being chased. He'll keep it and go. 35 to the 40 and gets the first down as only Trace McSorley can.
Well, what a great job by McSorley.
After further review, the Penn State player was in possession of the ball when he landed on the ground. As a result, it's a Penn State touchdown.
Wow! One of the big wow moments of this season right there. Takes it, fumbles the football, it's loose in the turf. Sharif Miller is there, and Penn State recovers at the 41-yard line. Back. Pressure delivers downfield, coming back to the ball, making the catch at the 30-yard line, and a first down for Penn State, Mike Gesicki. 24-yard attempt. Snap, down, kick is up. The kick by Davis is gone, and Penn State has a two-score lead. Barrett takes it. Option play near side. They pitch it on the reverse to Dixon to the 5, and he doesn't make it. Penn State stops him with Grant Haley. We saw a sea of humanity on the field last year at Beaver Stadium. We see it again this year, but this time in Columbus as they all pour out of the stands onto the field and Ohio State rallies to beat the Nittany Lions 39-38.
The block punt late was a big factor in the game. We've been doing a pretty good job of swinging field position and making them go the long field. Their O-line and D-line as the game went on really just started to wear us down. But I think the block punt was significant. We weren't able to get to their quarterback and make him uncomfortable in the pocket. He was standing back there. Their O-line did a tremendous job in protecting the quarterback. And, you know, when you get a quarterback like that that's played that much football and he can stand in the pocket and not be pressured, you know, it's going to make for tough situations. We've faced adversity before. We got to learn from this. We got to grow from this. You know, we got to get better. We got to get better in situational football. You know, we turn the ball over. We go sudden change. They go right down the field. It's an area we have not been good enough defensively as in sudden change. And then offensively, you know, we lost our identity in 4 minutes. We're running 4 minute offense, and we got to throw the ball. We got to do some things like that. The problem is, as a play caller, which I understand, is we weren't protecting well either. So, obviously you look back and say you should have threw the ball more, but we got to find some ways to help our offensive line and our defensive line out.
James Franklin, after the game on Saturday, you get into these narrow games with very little margin for error on both sides. I mean, remember, Ohio State won the game by one. Well, they also had very little margin for error on their side. Ohio State did a great job in the three-yard area. And I don't mean the three-yard line. I'm talking about the line of scrimmage area. They did a great job in that game up front on both sides of the ball. And it made a big difference in this game. Ultimately, it's part of what swung it. And then there's another part that really swung it. And I think it's the obvious turning point of the game. I don't think it takes a lot of thought to sit there and look at the fumble by JT Barrett, the recovery by Sharif Miller. Penn State's got the ball at the 42-yard line. Essentially, they're a first down away, if maybe 12, 14 yards away from being at minimum in field goal range to make it a three-score game, with the idea that, you know what, let's get a touchdown here and you can put it away. It would have been the left hook if they could have done it. It would have been the left hook if they could have done it. And instead, they went back 7 yards on the first play, eventually had to punt the ball, and Ohio State, the one special teams play that they made all day, was to block the punt. And then they got a great... they ended up getting a great field position, and they scored. I mean, that was a 10, at minimum, a 10-point swing, at minimum, in a one-point game. I mean, there it is right there. You know, Penn State had a chance when they got the field goal to maybe get more than that. They ended up settling for three, which made it a two-score game at the time. Made it a two-score game at the time. Really important. But, again, it's the tempo with which Ohio State plays with. They're moving the entire time, which then brings up the next part of it. And the next part of it is you're going to get guys banged up during the course of a game. It's accepted that it's going to have. It's very hard to go through any game completely clean. But there can be a domino effect no matter how it happens. And part of the domino effect in that game was on the second play of the game, Ryan Buchholz getting hurt. Now you've lost your every down defensive end at a position where you're relatively thin, because remember, you've already lost Torrance Brown for the year. And they entered the year with Buchholz as being the backup, and Buchholz has played as well as any starter, as you can ask. But you also lose along the way. Without Buchholz in there, remember, you then lost one of your primary defenses. And that is the four defensive end package, which Jack and I talk about all the time. Buchholz goes from end to tackle, joining Givens with Sharif Miller and Shaka Tony. Well, by not having Buchholz to flip inside, you lost your four defensive end package. And also, because Brown's out for the year, and then you lose Buchholz in this game, Shaka Tony and Shane Simmons and Yetur Matos, those three are still very much situational players for you that you're now demanding be every down players for you. Not as easy. So that did play a role and a factor in the game. Losing Bates in the fourth quarter was really important for Penn State, because now you have to take Will Fries, and you had to flip him from right tackle to left tackle on a day where you're fighting your guts out up front against a really good Ohio State defensive front. So that part did not play out well for Penn State in the game and did end up, let's face it, playing some role in what was going on out there at the time. Some role. So when you're looking for those little things, and little things make a difference, you know, both teams had small margins for error. Penn State kept coming up with big plays on special teams, came up with a big turnover to set up a score, right? Those items I just talked about, when the margin of error on both sides is so thin, it was just enough to give Ohio State the eventual advantage in this game. Hard loss for Penn State. Penn State in the last 18 games is now 16-2. They've lost both of them on the road. Yes, I consider the Rose Bowl a road game. When the venue is 8 miles from the team's campus, that's a road game. They're 16-2 with two road losses by a combined total of 4 points. That's how good they've been. That's how close they've been. But at the same time, a game like this does bring up a very important factor. And that is, in the development of what we see with Penn State football, you're still young at a couple of spots because you've been forced to be young at a couple of spots. Idealistically, you'd really like to have your linemen starting when they were redshirt sophomores instead of starting as a redshirt freshman like Will Fries. In other words, playing as a redshirt freshman, but as a starter, right? Unless you're really exceptional. Really exceptional. And you'll get some guys every once in a while that are really exceptional. I mean, we've all seen them over the years play at Penn State where suddenly that guy's just so good he has to play. But idealistically, you're a little bit older, a little bit more time in the weight room, a little more, you know, there's a lot of little things that go into it that are really important. And it plays a factor in a game like this. Last year, for example, Penn State had the older defensive ends. And they took advantage and exploited younger Ohio State offensive tackles. Jamarco Jones and Prince. Now, Prince is still, to me, a guy that I can't imagine they're completely comfortable with. I mean, I watched the tape. I watched the game. He still makes a lot of mistakes out there. But he's a year older, at least. And he played a better game this year than he did last year. Jones, the same thing. Now, if you look at a guy like Billy Price, whenever Penn State tried to blitz, who picked it up? Billy Price did. Right? Billy Price is not just a good center. He's an outstanding center. He's the guy they moved from guard. Because Pat Elflein's now starting at center for the Denver Broncos. And people will talk about the play calling. I understand that. Penn State has been 54-46 on run pass on first down for the season. 54% run, 46% pass. This time in this game, and part of it depends on field position and so forth, but Penn State this time at 27 first down plays, 20 were runs, 7 were passes. So something to think about down the road as to how they want to approach things. And something that they'll examine. As somebody said to me, he says, you know, they run this play, they don't like that, they run that play. They had 13 tackles for losses, Ohio State did in the game. 13 tackles for losses. That's a big number. That number needs to be cut in half. Again, in that margin for error, what those plays do is they put you out of a situation, or sometimes they put you off schedule. You're at the 42-yard line, 7-yard loss. Now it's 2nd-and-17. You're back at the 49. When you're the team with the golden opportunity to put it away, those are the kind of off-schedule things that really derail you. That comes down to execution, obviously. Now, a lot of people want to talk about the play calling of it. But a lot of it, you know, remember, too, execution means a big part of that. And Ohio State did a better job on those plays of executing. That's how you end up with the 13 negative plays that are tackles for losses. Now, sacks are included, too, but Ohio State only sacked Trace McSorley twice in the game. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
There are a lot of places to get insurance coverage, but only one place in the Susquehanna Valley ready to put four generations of experience to work for you. Hi, I'm Adam Purdy. At Purdy Insurance, we take the time to talk with you and find the right coverage for your needs. Everyone's situation is unique, so our approach is to customize coverage to best protect you. Whether it's home, auto, or business insurance solutions you need, call, email, or stop in to see how our commitment to personal service can help protect what matters to you.
Sunbury Motors Kia is in need of used SUVs and pickup trucks. If you have a used SUV or pickup truck of any brand or any miles, Sunbury Motors Kia will give you more than ever before on your next new Kia. Sunbury Motors Kia has 21 2018 Kia Sorentos starting at $24,999. Sunbury Motors Kia will give you more for your trade than ever before on your next new Sorento. Brand new Kia Souls sell elsewhere for $19,200. Not at Sunbury Motors Kia. 2017 Souls start at $15,996. Remember, every new Kia comes with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty and a 5-year, 60,000-mile basic warranty. If you're looking for the most money for your trade, Sunbury Motors Kia has been given the green light to overvalue your current vehicle to trade up to a brand new Kia. Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip in Hummel's Wharf.
So now the next step is going to be, it's twofold here. Number one, how does the college football playoff shake out? And we'll find out that tomorrow night will be the first snapshot that we will see of the season. And it's a snapshot, so we'll need to see that. And then we'll go from there. And then the next big part is you cannot let Ohio State beat you twice. You're going to go play at Michigan State. Michigan State, good defense, improved defensively when it comes to defending the run. And Lewerke's a better quarterback, although their numbers are about the same. I mean, they'll play some power football with you, and Lewerke can run. L.J. Scott is their leading rusher this year, which you expect. Lewerke's actually their second leading rusher this year. So that's, you know, you got to go there and play and win. They're coming off a triple overtime loss to Northwestern, where Lewerke, I believe he set a Michigan State record. He had 450 yards passing in that game. 450. And that's a big number. Big number. And, so that's who they've got, and it's going to be at noon, which means we will be on the air beginning at 10:30 on Saturday. All right, next half hour, Matt Leon on the Eagles and the new Phillies manager. Gabe Kapler, they're going to the world of analytics. They're going to the world of analytics. They're all in. Amazing. You know, analytics goes back to the beginning of time. He's hitting 342. That's analytics. Right?
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And today's show is brought to you by our good friends at Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. They've served this valley for decades. And there's a big reason for that. The customer comes first. They find you the right insurance at the best price that fits your budget. And there's a claim they go to work for you right away. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Very pleased to bring in the head football coach at Bucknell, Joe Susan. Joe, welcome. It's great to hear you again.
Steven.
Yes, I'm right here, Joe.
Oh, okay. I didn't know. I didn't get the segue. Sean and I were conversing. Apologize.
Well, it was a brilliant. It was a brilliant segue. One of my best ever, and I feel badly you missed it.
Well, I have a way of replaying you, and I love your golden tone.
You told me you subscribed to the podcast, Joe.
Yeah, that's just a check up on me. All right. Joe, three games in a row on the road. First of all, what impressed you about Colgate and how they played this game?
You know, I think I've said it before that they have a way of taking a young man that might be undersized for a lot of offenses and finding out about him early in recruiting and encouraging him to come. And Grant Brennerman showed that on Saturday in person. You know, obviously, you see him in film, but in person, the control he has, the intelligence he has, and the ability to execute. But a lot of it's related to his supporting cast. I thought his offensive line played well. His receivers really helped him out. He threw two touchdowns that were jump balls, and Joe Lauro was in great position, but got out-jumped for the football. And how do you fault the kid for great coverage when he's just getting beat for the jump ball? But and then from a defensive standpoint, once they got the lead, they knew how to pin their ears back and come after us, and they did a good job. But in many ways, we gave them the lead because we turned the ball over twice in the second quarter, and that's where they scored most of their points. The second half, our defense really shut them down. But when you're down 33-3 at halftime, it really makes it hard. And the thing that both teams were dealing with, a 15-20-mile-an-hour wind that I think Dan Hunt did the right thing in making us play against the wind in the third quarter, and you have to be smart about it because every kickoff with the wind at its back was 10 yards out of the end zone. And if you were look at it from the end zone copy of our video, the uprights are shaking, the trees are shaking, and sometimes on the field you're immune to that stuff, but we knew that it was going to impact two quarters of the game. And you know, 33-0 at halftime against the wind. And I told my team this. You know, everybody that thinks they know something about football would think that we would go out and start a 2-minute offense. And we decided to make a change at quarterback. And if we did that, we were risking three and outs. We were risking giving them the ball in opportune position. So when we didn't make mistakes, and certainly we made many, but we actually drove the ball pretty effectively and had two opportunities where should have been touchdowns that wind up one ending the game, one earlier in the game where we run a screen pass, go out of bounds at the one, and put the ball on the ground the very next play, first and goal from the one. So those are opportunities against any team, let alone a good team, that you can't give up. And learning experience for a freshman running back, obviously a total learning experience for the team. And they came back last night. Obviously this one stung them because we were in a position to control our own destiny. And I told them we've got to get back to what we do best and control what we can control, because you never know in this league. Everybody in the league has a loss. Right now we're amidst league play. Everybody's playing one another, so you never know what's going to happen.
Well, the odd thing about it is I've always felt the kids get over it faster than the adults do.
That's true. I bought a scary clown mask for Halloween that my wife told me I can't wear when they come trick or treating tomorrow because we got a bunch of little people in our neighborhood. I felt like wearing it to work yesterday, and
I should have copyrighted that. I should have copyrighted that. The Steve Jones mask. Guaranteed to scare the neighborhood. That's why he's on radio.
You have a face for radio.
And really a slice of perfection in that regard.
Yes, well.
Now you turn the page. Oh, yes, I do wear it well. But now you got to turn the page. And I know you turned the page as quickly as you could on the bus. Even if you'd won the game, you would have turned the page right away anyway. Which brings me to approach. When you're doing that 1-0 this week approach, is it weeks like this where you sense there can be a payoff because the approach is consistent?
I believe so, and I really just being around a couple of leaders on our team, Abdullah Anderson and I spent some time together yesterday. We meet as a group of captains and myself today. They understand, and they're such great kids that. They are motivators for the other players on our team, and they understand that, number one, that we're finally at home. We haven't been at home since we haven't been at home in October, and playing at home is a good place to play. It's your own locker room, and we are as healthy as we've been. Every team in this league has issues with injury, and it's, the next guy in, you want it to be the next best guy in, but sometimes your depth doesn't have that. But I think from a defensive standpoint, we feel very confident about handling an explosive offense. And someone asked me earlier today, how do you feel if you get in a track meet? And, we're going to do our best because I don't think we would prevail in a track meet, score after score after score. But I think that the way our defensive coaches have approached the way Lehigh's offense functions, and it's functioned pretty well over the years, I think they'll be ready to limit their ability to score. But when you look at it, we have to score. And we're 2 weeks in a row without a touchdown. That's not a good thing for your offense. And we're going to do some things in terms of personnel that we started last week where we're fortunate we have four tight ends that can play, but when you play a lot of the game with either two or sometimes one tight end on the field, it's hard to get four guys in there. And we're going to start moving personnel around to get those guys in there, and they're very athletic. Not aside from the guy that coaches them. So I think that what that does is it poses some problems for defense as to when they see two tight ends, one back come on the field, they have certain defenses against that. But when you detach one of those tight ends, now you got to deal with him in space. It showed some on Saturday. Just the scoreboard got ahead of us. And obviously when the scoreboard gets ahead of you, you have to move away from what you feel you do best to what you feel it can give you some chunks. Our kids are really resilient. And like you said earlier in this conversation, us 38-year-olds are a little bit less resilient because we take it hard. And I told them, I said, don't ever get used to losing, because if you do, then you become one. And they understand that.
Exactly. The complimentary football, what can the defense and your special teams, which have both been very good for you so far this year, what can they do to make it life a little bit easier for the offense, because an easier score might open up the floodgates for more scores?
Yeah, I think field position will be critical once again. When you coach, you become a weatherman, and the projected weather is like mid-50s and sunny. It's a noon game. I thought our special teams played well on Saturday. With the wind, some of the components of the special teams are taken out of the game, like kickoff return. When the ball is 10 yards deep in the end zone, you don't have a kickoff return. Neither did they.
Mm-hmm.
But our ability to keep the field long, both defensively and with our punt game, and our punter's done an outstanding job, and to create some turnovers. Grant Brenneman, going into the Lehigh game, had thrown one pick all year, and that's pretty damn good for a freshman. I haven't studied the passing efficiency of Lehigh's quarterback yet. I'm just watching their defensive film, but if we can create some turnovers and give ourselves some opportune field position and score when we can. Obviously, when you're in that red zone, you want to count by sevens, and we were in there four times and only got one field goal. So got to be able to cash in when you're there, and our kids know that. They understand, our coaches know that. And what we've done with our offensive game plan is we pared it down a little bit. And, we're going to challenge them with personnel and formation, still run the same stuff, but really a little bit less of variety in terms of, we can go into a game with 50 runs, but in most games you're not running the ball 50 times unless you really have an advantage. And in this league there is so much parity in terms of the level of talent that nobody really has that skew in advantage unless somebody's going through a rash of injuries. So it's how our defense, and we've played that way. We've played to our defense, we've played to our special teams, and got to put some points on the board offensively. We know that. Our players know that, and I'm sure Andy Cohen at Lehigh knows that. And they've had some issues defensively, primarily from an injury standpoint, that people have been able to score points on them. We need to score points. That sounds like pretty simple football, but basically, in essence, it is.
Well, sometimes it's that the easy part is actually the correct answer. So,
sounds good to me.
Joe, thanks so much. Always a pleasure. Best of luck on Saturday. 2-game homestand coming up.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Sean. Sean, we'll see you Wednesday. And Sean actually has a face for both TV and radio.
I don't know about TV, but
it's that late night TV or.
Yeah, that
MTV
2 a.m. that 2 a.m. infomercial period, maybe.
Yeah. Or that test pattern that Steve and I know about, but you don't. Gentlemen, you guys have a great day.
You got it.
Thank you, Joe.
Thanks. Bye.
All right. I know the phones have been ringing during the interview, so for those of you who wanted to get in, you can now at 1-800-965-7565. Come on in, give us a call. I'm sure they have some comments they want to make about Saturday, which you can. So those who are ringing the phone earlier, jump in and give us a call. Appreciate it very much as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Now, I know we've had the phones. We had to idle them down only because we had Joe Susan on for our weekly talk. The phone lines are open. So give us a call. I know some people tried to call while we were talking to Joe. I saw that. We had a couple lines ringing. So you can call in, and whatever questions you have, we'll try and give you whatever answers we have. Mark Wogenrich, outstanding from the Allentown Morning Call, is going to join us at 4:06 today. Wednesday, Chris Soleri is going to join us from Michigan to talk about Michigan State. Good against the run. That's an area where Michigan State has really improved this year. They have improved their defense against the run. All their other numbers are relatively the same as last year when Penn State went to play them. But Brian Lewerke has made a big difference for them at quarterback. He's got some versatility. He can throw the ball, as you can tell, but also does a better job of running the ball. He's their second leading rusher this year. Buzz is on the road with both hands on the wheel and a hands-free device. Hello, Buzz.
How are you, Steve? What a game. I've gotten into the habit of listening to you while I'm watching the game, and although you're, of course, about 15 seconds ahead, it helps me know where to look when the play starts. So that works out
well,
okay for me.
We're just clairvoyant. I'm just kidding.
Well, I have two.
Just kidding.
The first question I had, I probably could look up.
Sure.
What does it mean when you say trips left or trips? Or I don't understand that term.
Trips is three receivers to one side. So if I say trips to the far side, it's Hamilton Tompkins and Gesicki. All three are split out to one side.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
The only real question I had for you today was the value of the home crowd. Do you think the home crowd could have made that 1 point difference on Saturday?
Home crowd makes a difference in that, in communication more than anything else. Whenever a team comes into Beaver Stadium, and I'll give you an example. Last year and then 2 years ago when JT Barrett came in here, one game was a double overtime win for Ohio State. The other game, Penn State won. He could not communicate checks at the line of scrimmage. Now, everyone thinks that, wow, the crowd makes an influence when you see a guy jump at the line of scrimmage. Okay, it does. It does make a difference. But people forget that at home, he's able to sit there in complete comfort and make his checks at the line of scrimmage. And I had a great talk with James Franklin last night for a while, and he said that was one of the things he was able to do. He was able to get up to the line of scrimmage, make his checks, get into the play they wanted to, because he could do it with complete serenity, and that's part of the advantage of playing at home. They're loud when you're on defense, like they are at Beaver Stadium. It's quiet like church when you're on offense, like Beaver Stadium.
Yeah, okay. All right. Oh, I just wanted to ask somebody who I thought might actually be able to answer if there was a point in value to being at home.
The odds makers will tell you it's usually three.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Well,
yep. Las Vegas will tell you usually three, Buzz. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Buzz on the road with his call, and Dick in Milton is next. Hello, Dick. Thanks for waiting.
It's Dale.
Oh, Dale, I'm sorry.
That's
reading for the reading impaired here.
Some of this maybe you came up and I didn't hear it, but I want to several things. I'll go over them with you, and then I'll hang up and let you address all of them as you want to, okay? The topics I have to cover with you, some of these I called last year with concerns, and these same concerns are this year. First, the offensive coordinator, Moorhead, I guess it is, he is a quality coach, but let's face it, he is working with exceptional talent. They both go together, and it's good. However, my concern is this. You have a top-ranked back like Barkley, and you have McSorley, who's a super good quarterback on the ends. With Barkley, for example, if you look at the statistics on him that he gets, it's statistics from maybe one or two long gains, and that's it. He is not consistently able to run. What is happening, and this is my feeling here, being an old lineman, I know what they have to do. The snap is to McSorley. He hands to a standing Barkley, and then Barkley tries to make a run. Or they did finally, a week ago, give a snap to Barkley, and you know what happened there. He went all the way. Now, this time they gave, if my memory is correct, a snap to Barkley, and they handed it off to McSorley. Yep. But the yards per gain that Barkley's getting for the quality back certainly does not show what they should be getting. Now, where the problem is, I don't know. I do think that they need to put some wrinkles in their offense, because the defenses, they've made adjustments to stop Penn State's running game. The other thing that I wanted to go over is on the offense, some suggestions that I made before. A different looks. McSorley under center. Barkley now able to make a move. Rather than standing still getting the ball, will have some momentum behind him. Linemen have a long time to make that block and retain the block the way it is. The other is you have quality, three other backs, Sanders being one of them, who was highly recruited, five-star. I think he got in when Barkley lost his shoe, and that was it. Why not put him back there and have both backs there, and he could even do some blocking if it's not at any time running, but it adds a little more of a dimension to the offense. The other thing is that I'm concerned about there in the fourth quarter, correct me on this, when they were down, was it in the 5-yard line, and they gave it to McSorley twice to run up the center? I don't understand that. McSorley is not a guy that's going to plow through a line that they're looking for that short yardage. And what, the third time, then they threw the pass, and I don't even think he got it off.
No, they ran with Barkley, yeah. The third down was a run by Barkley. All intriguing suggestions, Dale. We'll try and address them one by one after the news.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.